Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men.
Up and run. So please stand with me as we read our scripture for the morning. I am in Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 22. We should be able to quote this by now, I think. Isaiah 8, 22. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. For there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation and have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle helmet and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you loved us. Even in our sin, you loved us, and you demonstrated that by sending your Son to the cross. He died on that cross to pay the penalty and take your wrath on our behalf. And Lord, we can trust in him and we can trust in you for salvation. It's not by any works that we do, Lord, but it's a finished work on the cross that we can put our hope in. We thank you for that, and we just pray that you speak powerfully through Pastor Larry this morning. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Maher Shalal Hashbaz. That's my best attempt at speaking in tongues. It's a Hebrew name given to the second born of the prophet Isaiah. And that name, by now you should know, means to the victor belongs the spoil. That name was given to Isaiah's second son, not to be an encouragement to the people of Israel, but quite the opposite, to give prophetic warning to them. For on the horizon were the Assyrians and their vast army, and they were about to be the victors and take the spoil, take for themselves all the spoil of Judah and Israel. And so the name, Maher Shalal Hashbaz, you're about to become the spoil of a pagan nation. As chapter 8 ends, it's full of doom and gloom for the people of Israel because of what God will allow Assyria to do. But as chapter 9 opens, it is flipped. The doom and the gloom is changed, it's transformed. The opening statement is something like this: there shall be no more gloom, no more doom for those or for her who is in anguish. Israel's about to be in captivity, but there's a deliverer coming. And you and I know who that deliverer is. We've been in this series for now, this is the third week. That deliverer is the child whose birthday we just celebrated. And that deliverer's name, did you notice what I just did? Name, not names. That deliverer's name is longer than the second son of Isaiah. That deliverer's name is the Son of God, the only begotten, firstborn Son of God. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor, my beloved, whose strategies are far superior to all other strategies. He's the Wonderful Counselor whose thinking is counterintuitive to all the thinking of this world. Thus, the world does not understand him, nor can it contradict him. For his thinking is from above. And as I said, it's counterintuitive. Things like this: in death, there is genuine life. Right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I who am dead to self, I live victoriously through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Counterintuitive thinking. No wonder he's called the Wonderful Counselor. In weakness, I am made strong. Ask Paul about that. He will tell you again, counterintuitive. The strong are those who will become stronger. No, the more I humble myself in the presence of Almighty God, the stronger I become in his strength and power. Counterintuitive. No wonder he's called the Wonderful Counselor. You know what that tells me? It tells me, as one who knows so very much, not me, him, as the Wonderful Counselor who knows much, he is omniscient. He knows everything. By the way, I can fool you. And you can say amen to that if you want, or yo if you prefer. And you can fool me. But there's one who's omniscient, who knows all, who sees you this moment. And he knows what's in here, yo. He's the Wonderful Counselor, omniscient. He's the Mighty God, omnipotent. Oh, please rehearse with me what you already know about him and revel in this and worship him for it. He's the one who took a withered hand and spoke and it became whole. He's the one who caused the blinded eye to see, the deaf to hear, the speechless to speak. And he himself stood outside the tomb and called the dead to live, to life. He is Mighty God. That tells me he's omnipotent. And if Israel needed anything, they needed someone who knew how to defeat the enemy, who was omniscient, who had the power to carry out his omniscient strategies. They needed someone like that, and they had it in the one who was to come. And today we're talking about the fact that he's the Everlasting Father. That tells me something. As the Everlasting One, he has always been, he is now, and forever shall be. Therefore, he is omnipresent. There's never a moment in eternity or in time that he is not with us. And by the way, would you all just get over praying like this? Father, be with my kids in the East Coast. Or be with, so we don't have to ask him to be with his people. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you, for I'm everlasting. Always have been, and now, and always will be. And so he's omnipresent. And because he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, because he is the Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He then can do what no one else can do. He can bring peace to your heart and to mine. He can bring peace to any source or any conflict within any group. He can bring peace between nations. He alone is the Prince of Peace. So this isn't just a Christmas message, is it? Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God is our peace, always with us. Now, let's kick it off with this third in this series. He's the everlasting Father. Your mind ought to go with mine today to that time when Philip stood in the presence of the Lord Jesus while he was still on earth before he ascended, not long before, but before he ascended. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And you remember what Jesus did? I think he spun on his heels, a bit frustrated. You can almost sense it in the verbiage that's used when he says to him, Philip. And by the way, I don't think Philip was speaking for himself. I think he was speaking for the whole group. Don't you know that he who has seen me has seen the Father? For I and the Father are, say it, church, one. The Son is here called the everlasting Father. You want to know God? Look at the Son. You want to know the Son? Look at the Father. They are one in the same. Now, I cannot explain that, but it's reality. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Now, let's talk about this whole idea of him being everlasting. It carries with it the idea of duration. I'm going to make up a word for you. Are you ready? My grandkids hate it when I make up words. You know when you text and they make up these abbreviations and you're supposed to know all of them? R-O-T-F-L. I looked at that for 4 years before I finally asked somebody, what does that mean? Supposed to mean rolling on the floor laughing. So I just make up my own when I text the kids. Like, S-U-O-M. What's that mean? Well, you should know. It means see you on Monday. Just keep your life fresh with your grandkids. That'll help you and your kids. Here's a word I want to make up. Futurity. It's the future with an I-T-Y on the end of it. What do I mean by futurity? I'm describing for you the kind of being that the Son of God is. He is one that no matter at one time who may have lived, from that time on in the future, he is, not the person, Jesus is. In other words, Jesus was in the person of the Father in the garden with Adam. And Adam could say, from my day, forever, in duration. This is futurity to me. If it doesn't help you, then you make up your own word. But from my day in the garden, if I were Adam, I could rest assured of this fact. He is with me, and there never will be a point in time or eternity that he is not with me. And that's what I mean by it. Futurity walks all the way through the Bible. You can find it in the Psalms as David sings of the eternality, the everlasting quality of the Son. And by the way, the 45th Psalm is not about God the Father on his throne. It's about the one who is seated at his right hand on the throne equal to him. The 45th Psalm is about Christ, the Son of God. And David, in worshiping him, praying and singing with one heart to God, declares, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." And what was David saying? Stay with me, please. From the time that I breathe this prayer in song to God, throughout all of time and throughout all of eternity, your throne still exists, and you still exist on that throne. The same thing is stated in the New Testament by God the Father. When in Hebrews chapter 1, that eighth verse, he has just said, to which of the angels has he said, "Sit here till I make your enemies your footstool"? And then he adds, God the Father saying of the Son, he, God, says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." From the day that the author of Hebrews penned that phrase, that word, that statement about the Son, through until our day and through all the rest of the time and on into eternity, his throne is there and he is seated on it. He is forever. That's futurity. You're not going to forget that word, are you? I'm not going to let you. He's on the throne forever? Yeah. Another of the Psalms says, as the mountains, I quote it nearly every time I go into a hospital with someone who's going into surgery, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his own from henceforth even forever. There he is again. I am present in David's day. I will always be present with my people throughout all time into eternity. Does that mean anything to you? Is that cool stuff or what? Stay with me on it. For in the last book of the Bible, much the same thing is declared. When John, in his anguish of banishment on the Isle of Patmos, no longer able to shepherd the flock in the city of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, though he would go back to them in the future, he had no idea that he would ever return, banished on the Isle of Patmos. And in that anguish, there was one who was seated on the throne, but because he's omnipresent while on the throne also, came and appeared to John in his anguish. And John heard the voice and the noise behind him, and it says he turned. And what did he see? Among what he saw is what's on the screen, Revelation 1:14. The hairs of his head were what? White. Look around all the white hair, or don't. White like white wool, like snow. Whenever you see white hair, you think age. And watch this. When it's ascribed to the Son of God, whom John was looking at face to face that day, it doesn't just mean age, it means ageless. The Ancient of Days, who existed that moment for John, and then would continue to exist through all time and on into eternity. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense from a human perspective, for this one who was to be born in Isaiah 9 is to be the Son of God. And from a human thought, that would dictate that the Father first exists, then the Son. But just from this phrase, everlasting Father, if you're still with me, what you're learning is divine thought dictates something far different. The Son existed always in eternity past with the Father. One did not exist first and then the other. By the way, that's why you cannot call, as some mistakenly call her, you cannot call Mary the Mother of God. Mother means one who brings about the beginning. Christ was everlasting and eternal. He is equal with the Father, and he and the Father are one. And so if you're with me, forever on the throne, from past eternity to future eternity and throughout all time. And by the way, that past eternity and future eternity is a misnomer. It's a wrong way to put it. All of that is just eternity, and in the middle of eternity, we have a breath of time. So what are we learning? To say everlasting is to say from then till forever. From infinite past to infinite forever, he's on his throne, he holds the scepter, and listen up, nobody has ever, can now, or will ever take the scepter from his right hand. He is mighty God, everlasting Father, at work on the throne for you and me. And all who care to and are excited about that said, now let's talk about the Father. I can do this with you quickly. The term Father in the Bible is ascribed to the founder of, cause of, or creator of a thing, the originator of something. For instance, the devil himself is described by Christ to the Pharisees as the father of lies. You are of your father, the devil. How did you know that they were of their father, the devil? How did he know that? Well, one, he's God. He knows everything. But the other reason is because the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and you are liars. Therefore, you're a part of the sonship, the children of the one who is the originator, the creator, the cause of lie. And so when you hear the word Father, think the one who begins, the one who causes something or someone to be. That begs the question, what you just learned with me and you knew already is that Satan is the cause, the father, the originator of lies. God doth know. You remember reading this early in the history of mankind in the garden? God doth know in the day you eat thereof, you shall not surely die a lie. The exact opposite of what God said, the day you eat of it, you will die. He's the originator of lies with mankind, the father of lies. If he is the father of lies, then that begs the question, what is Jesus the father of? What's he the cause of, the creator of, the founder of, the originator of? And I could give you so many things. He certainly is the founder of the church. You know? When you talk about our 131-year history, something to celebrate, So many churches fail miserably and are not in existence that began that long ago. It's by the grace of God that this church was founded. But let me back up and say, 131 years is nothing compared to two millenniums since Pentecost, when the Spirit of God filled the church of God and the church began. Jesus is the Father, the foundation of the church. And through his apostle, we are told that upon this rock, Christ's own deity, his own person, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God the Son. Upon that rock, the church will be built. He's the Father of the church. I believe that. Let me just remind you of our mission statement and see if you don't agree with this. Our mission statement is to know Christ and make him known. As the what? The way, the truth, the life. The way, the truth, the life. You do no injustice to that statement to say, he is the Father of the way, the truth, and the life. It is our mission not just to know him, but to make him known as the Father of the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other cause for relationship with God the Father than the Son, Jesus Christ. Yo? He said, I'm the way. There is a gap between Adam and God. And in pictorial form, an animal was slain. The bloody robe was placed around Adam and Eve to cover their shame and nakedness. And that was a foreshadow of what we portrayed with this cup and this bread this morning. Jesus became and was the way, the Lamb slain, so that our sins are not just covered, but our sins are forgiven, therefore giving us the way to God through his own death on the cross. He's the truth, the very embodiment of truth, so much so that the scriptures declare that he is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That simply means he is the exact image of God the Father when he walked among us. No wonder he calls himself the truth. And from him, all truth comes, is caused, is created, originates. It comes from God. Truth is God. And I'm the life, he said. The author, the originator, the creator, the founder of life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, union with God, connection with him, never again to be separated in death from him, forever united. He's the Father of a relationship with God. And you cannot have that relationship apart from the everlasting Father, Jesus Christ, the author of that relationship. Amen? Your turn. So, just as Israel faced Assyria with Jehovah ever present, everlasting Jehovah, with them now and forever, So the church faces her enemies with the changeless and eternal Son Father at her side. The Son is my everlasting Father, the one present with me. The church cannot be defeated. Hello? The church cannot be defeated. Why? Because Christ, mighty God, wonderful counselor, is always present, everlasting Father, with the church. Therefore, the gates of hell cannot stand against her. Church, you're getting ready for a new pastor. One more time, we're so excited for you. For that, we celebrate God's choice servant coming to connect with you. I've met with him long enough to know he's not going to be content and just enjoy being with you inside these walls. And you don't want a pastor like that. Hello? He sees the church as on mission. And he's going to start stretching you and leading you. And if you think I stretched you, look out. He's going to stretch you into moving outside these walls with this absolute confidence. We walk outside of these doors after every time we meet with the everlasting Father at our side and within us. And we must move out and declare him to be the Father of the way, the truth, and the life. We do this together. And let me just give you a warning. Will you still love me after that? If you don't follow him out there, I'm coming back to haunt you. Follow him and the team God gives him together with you. Move out as one on mission. Because hell cannot stop the church that will be a unit moving outside these walls. Stand with me, please. Let's pray. Wonderful counselor. Who knows all? We rely on you for wisdom to accomplish the mission. Mighty God, omnipotent alone, full of power, offering victory, we lay ourselves at your feet and ask you, give us the grace to live in that victory as we move out from this place. And everlasting Father, omnipresent one, we are so thrilled that we can walk out with courage because we do not walk out alone. Not only do we stand as soldiers shoulder to shoulder with each other, but we stand out there with you within us and beside us as the captain of the hosts of Israel, as the one who empowers us to present Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Bring peace to many as we value who you are, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. We pray together right now for Pastor Rob. Within the next few minutes, he's telling his church there in Greenwood that he's coming to shepherd a different flock. which means he's leaving a flock to do that. Sorrow, sadness can be and will certainly be a part of that announcement. But mighty God, give them greater victory than that. Help them to see today that their mighty God, the wonderful counselor and the everlasting Father, will be with them though their shepherd's leaving. Help them to value the fact that there is another who will come, for you bring pastors to churches. As you place stars in the heavens, you place them in churches. Oh God, give them a victorious service and help them to be united behind what you are doing as their pastor leaves that assembly in coming weeks. And somehow give them a sense of our love and our prayer support for both Pastor Rob and Linnell and the kids and the church as well. Father, grant these things in the name that's worthy, the only name that's worthy of being heard, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah, my Father, in his day.